Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Handed out at this moment by the ushers is the study guide for this week's sermon as well as the growth group on Tuesday. For those not familiar, there is the cover sheet in which we will kind of, you can follow along and fill in the blanks as you go. In case you miss it or aren't quite sure, if you flip it over, you'll see at the bottom that the answers are there. I would encourage you not to try to read upside down, but actually give it some thought as we go. And if at the end you're still going, that answer didn't seem to make sense down there at the bottom, say something and I'll try to clarify it. In any case, the rest of it can be used by you through the week if you'd like. It's a way to kind of take the sermon text a little bit deeper throughout the week, something you can use for your own personal devotions or family devotions, and of course we'll be using it Tuesday night as part of our growth group. Just to give you kind of an idea of how it works, the first week that we met, we got through almost all the questions. The second week that we met, we got through one. So that just kind of lets you know how sometimes discussion can go. Sorry, I just dropped my hand sanitizer. I don't know how that fell, but anyway. So as you look at these, you can tell that some of them will you'll spend some time talking as a family, a way to dig in a little bit further. But for now, let's take a look at Luke chapter 17. I just wanted to highlight, when Jesus saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," and as they went, they were cleansed. That's a pretty big change. Now, I know that as Lutherans, we're not exactly known for our enthusiasm for change. I'm sure a lot of you have heard that joke about Lutherans. How many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? Change. We tend to kind of like things the way they are, but this morning, as we take a look at Luke chapter 17, we have to admit that change is at the very heart of who we are in Jesus Christ. Because in hearing this miraculous account of the leper, we see that there is a change that goes beyond just the healing of leprosy. And so today, we are invited by Jesus to come to Jesus for a change. As we consider that this morning, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So scientists today have determined that there are a lot of different diseases of the skin, and they can occur for various reasons and have individual degrees of severity and symptoms and the like. And because of that, a lot of them have been now given specific names on the various types of diseases that are there. But in first century Palestine, any skin disease was just labeled leprosy. That's just what it was all called. They didn't distinguish between things. It was just leprosy. And the thing was that you could have a broad range of symptoms. Everything from a rash to a fever to kind of what we think of the more classical leprosy, where the blood doesn't quite get out to the extremities and you start losing things like fingers and toes or the tip of your nose. So there's kind of a broad range of things when we're talking leprosy. And it didn't really matter what it was, but in the end, once you had that skin disease, you were considered to be ceremonially unclean. And in fact, if it got to be really bad, then you were ostracized, cast out, forced to live in colonies or hollows or caves or wherever you could congregate with other people who also had leprosy so that you were away from everybody else. And in fact, you were required by law that any time somebody came anywhere near you, you had to call out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And people would scurry away so as not to catch whatever it is that you have. Talk about a lonely life, huh? Not a whole lot of fun. You can kind of understand why people came together who were fellow lepers. Normally, Jews and Samaritans didn't come together, but you have to kind of infer that if Jesus points out that one was a Samaritan, you kind of figure the rest were all Jews. But I guess misery loves company, and there they were together, all 10 of them. And here comes Jesus. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And he said, you might have expected the lepers to call out, unclean, unclean! But not here. Instead, they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. I know that there were probably some people who were there that day that thought this was rather bold. I mean, come on, these are lepers. They're outcasts. They have a responsibility to let people know that they're unclean. And here comes the famous Jesus, the famous rabbi. They want to infect him? Come on, lepers. Think. Unclean, not Jesus, have pity on me. And yet you know your Savior Jesus. You know that them crying out to him is exactly what he was wanting to happen. And it's exactly what those lepers did. They went to Jesus for a change. They wanted from him a change in their situation. Because you see, the Bible writers tell us on more than one occasion that after a miracle by Jesus, news about him would spread throughout the surrounding area. And so these lepers knew who Jesus was. They knew the things that he had done. They knew that he had gone way up north and healed a Canaanite woman, a foreigner, and Jesus had healed her. He knew about that Roman soldier's servant, again, a foreigner. Jesus was even willing to heal the servant of that centurion. And he knew about how Jesus had crossed the Sea of Galilee to the far side, you know, where all those foreigners lived. And there he met a man of the Gadarenes who was possessed by a demon, and Jesus healed him too. So these lepers knew that Jesus was one who cared about people and cured people, particularly outsiders and outcasts, and how he had the power to cure and change their situation. And they called out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Leprosy today, it's also known sometimes as Hansen's disease. Maybe you've heard that phrase. We're real specific about it now, and we realize that it's not as contagious. In fact, you have to have repeated exposure to it through, like, drippy noses and coughing and that type of stuff. You have to have repeated exposures for it to really take hold. And maybe that explains a little bit why Jesus, knowing all things, was perfectly willing to come near these and other lepers. But it's one of those things that today we kind of understand more, that there are medicines and cures and preventions. But the thing is that today, even though we better understand leprosy, we're facing something that is absolutely far worse. And I'm not talking about cancer, and I'm not talking about Zika, and I'm not talking about Ebola. I'm talking about something even worse, something that has infected us all, and you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the leprosy of sin. It's infected each and every one of us, and like it or not, we've all tested positive. That's not good. I mean, cancer is something that can put us in a coffin. But the leprosy of sin can put us in hell for eternity. This is serious business. But now don't go thinking that you can somehow kind of sidestep this and say, I'm a victim here. We have to understand that while most diseases that we identify, we don't want to have anything to do with, this disease is something that we embrace. We want more of it at times. We welcome it into our homes. We pass it along to our children. We make excuses for it, and we justify it. And before we know it, it is so contagious that it has affected everything that we touch. mean, we should be the ones going through life yelling out, unclean, unclean, stay away from me. I'm just going to bring you down. I'm just going to infect you. I'm just going to make it worse. So how can we possibly come to Jesus for a change? That's for two reasons. And it's the very same two reasons that the lepers came to Jesus on that day in the Galilean countryside. Jesus has the love to care about spiritual outcasts like you and me. And he has the power to cure spiritual outcasts like you and me. And it's evidence of this caring and curing change that invites us to come in the first place. The evidence of that caring and curing change that we can see wrapped up in strips of cloth in a manger in Bethlehem. It's evidence of that caring and curing change as we see the blood smeared on a cross stuck in the ground of a hill called Calvary. It's evidence of that caring and curing change as we stare into that empty tomb outside Jerusalem. It is evidence of that caring and curing change found in the gospel message of Jesus Christ himself. Paul described it when he spoke in confidence, "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." That's change. The power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. We were outcasts, leprous with sin, enemies of God, on our way to eternal destruction when Jesus' caring and curing hand changed us. Not just for a moment, but for eternity, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring you and me eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sir Isaac Newton had his first law of motion. It reads, "Everything continues in a state of rest until it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it." I'll read that again because it's kind of a mouthful. "Everything continues in a state of rest until it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it." We're described as dead in transgressions and sin. There's nothing a dead body can do. State of rest until compelled by forces like the love of Christ. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. We'll bring it up again. Paul said, Christ's love compels us, pushes us from a lost life, dead in sin, leprous with sin, on a road to destruction, pushes us off that road onto a path from grace to glory. And it is a change that we can only spiritually comprehend. It's a change that only spiritually can we rejoice in. We have come to Jesus for a change, and we have been blessed to be able to mark it. Now, maybe you have this in your home. I know I did growing up, that kind of spot on the wall, you know, where you'd get to be this tall and you'd make the mark, and you get to be this tall and you make the mark, get to be this tall. I don't know what it's like to be up here, but I'll just trust some of you. When I was in sixth grade, there was a stretch where I was going to the wall almost once a week. And it wasn't because I was hoping that I would get taller during that stretch. It's because I actually was getting taller during that stretch. I hit this incredible growth spurt near the end of sixth grade where I hit this height going into seventh grade. I was looking at the empirical data and extrapolating out that by the time I was 16, I was going to be 6 feet, 6 inches tall. Now, I did continue to grow. For those wondering, I have hit my ideal weight for 6 feet, 6 inches tall. But I did not quite grow the way I intended. But I will ask you today, have you been back to the growth chart? Have you gone back to the wall to check your growth? You see why at the beginning when I drew a blank on the first Sunday, it was really important that I remember what it was? because I'm asking you now, have you been loving the lost like Christ? Have you been doing your Christian duty? Are you, in the words of today, living a life of thanksgiving? Are you growing in Christian character more than you were a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago? Or is it something that's just kind of washed over you and moved on like a flood that eventually recedes? Are you growing in Christian character? Is the change there? Hold yourself up to God's word and check. This isn't just a one-time thing. You go back to it again and again because guess what? I hit my height, I hit my potential when it came to my physical height, but there is no stopping. There is no cutoff. There's no pituitary gland governing it. You just keep growing and growing and growing. When you keep going back to the Word, when you keep looking to Jesus, going to Jesus, coming to Jesus for that change in your life. Now let's be honest, sometimes we're going to go back to that Word and we're going to look and we're going to be disappointed because we haven't hit the mark that we wanted. Own it. Admit it. Acknowledge it. And then go to Jesus for the change. Seek His forgiveness. And know that through His forgiveness, through His power at work in you, the change happens. After all, He has already changed you from a sinner, leprous with sin, into that new creation. Created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Christ's love is compelling us to make these changes. It is making these changes in us, who we are and how we live, what's most important, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, who we spend time with, what activities we engage in, and on and on and on. We have come to Jesus for a change, and look at how His caring and curing hands have done it. Jesus said to those lepers, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." That was to fulfill the letter of the law. And as they went, they were cleansed. They had come to Jesus for a change, and as they went on their way, they found it. But one of them noticed that it was more than just a change of skin. Something more profound had happened. There was a change of heart. Jesus identified it. He said to the man, "Your faith has made you well." Understand, Jesus isn't saying that because the man's faith was so strong, that's why he was clean. Jesus is pointing out that because of that connection of faith, there was a path, a conduit between Jesus' power and this man's heart. And it changed more than his skin. It changed his very heart. Because here is faith. Here is confidence of that very heart. A vivid understanding of helplessness and a realization that there is only one way out. Jesus. And as we recognize the change in our lives accomplished by Him, as we put on the new self through the water and word of baptism, we daily rise to go and live a new life, a life of thanksgiving by the power of the gospel and in word and sacrament, free from the leprosy of sin. We have been welcomed into God's family of grace, rejoicing in change. Change brought to you through faith in Christ Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And so now, you too, like the leper, are encouraged, invited, called on, commanded to rise and go as changed people of God to live your life of thanksgiving, not just once a year, but every day. Amen.